This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan on your Monday. Victory Monday, different than last Monday. Some things stay the same, though. Derek Johnson in about 25 minutes. We will get the middle linebacker's perspective on this defense. Defense, defense, defense.
Got to play better, better, better.
During the break, I was looking this up. Big game from Noah Gray yesterday. He finally passed Rashee Rice for third most receiving yards on the team. Barely.
Wow. Crazy, right?
Week 12, and somebody finally passed Rashee Rice for most receiving yards on the team. Travis Kelce, obviously the leader in the clubhouse at 569 yards receiving.
Nice.
Xavier Worthy, 353. Noah Gray, 315. That's your third guy. And then Rashee Rice, 288.
This is why you don't draft fantasy players for the Kansas City Chiefs, because yesterday, nine different players caught a pass and six different players ran the football. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an amazing number. That shows you the depth that this team has. I know we all want to see like Saquon Barkley-like numbers and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Ain't happening with this football team, and I'm good with it. I like to have nine guys catching the football. That's pretty cool.
Six different ran it?
That's crazy. Different ran the football yesterday, right?
I mean, there's the Carson Steele.
Xavier did a jet sweep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's
been six. And then P. Ryan had a run, and then Mahomes.
McColl.
Yeah. It's six different people running the football. They're designing plays for six different people to carry the football and nine different people to catch the football yesterday.
But to be fair, P. Ryan, Worthy, and Steele combined for three rushes.
That's right. Gotcha. So, one apiece. But still, I mean, it shows you, like, you just when you start to think you've got this offense figured out, you know who it's going to go to, here comes somebody else that's going to do something. Like, they put a little stuff on tape yesterday to make people kind of start to prepare a little bit. Some of those McColl Hardman inside handoffs that we saw, you know, a little end around, a little jet sweep, get McColl more involved in this offense. Like, they're starting to put some stuff on tape that people are going to have to start preparing for and wasting their time on that we'll probably never see again. Like, I don't know that we'll ever see McColl Hardman take an inside handoff the rest of the year, but now you got to prepare for that. It's just something else that Andy and company are putting on tape to make the rest of the league go, okay, we better prepare for this. And while you're spending time, wasting time doing this, they're beating you doing something else. So they've got diversity, man, all up and down this offense. And they put up 30 yesterday. Good offensive performance yesterday.
Yeah, tied their season high in points. Andy Reid, keep it rolling. What? I'm so confused. To me, in my opinion, there's a little bit of worry in that voice. Because he says, A, don't hang your heads. Right. There's some people hanging their heads.
Well,
yesterday.
The Mahomes is, you know, saying he wants a blowout.
Right. And keep rolling. This league is weird. Look at college football. Why are we comping college football to the NFL right there? And I'm not here to question Andy Reid. I'm just saying, like, when I do my best to kind of read the room or to think what his hand of poker is, which I've never been right with Brett Veach, but like when I read the volume and
Brett Veach would dominate in poker, I think, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he kills everybody in the league. And like when I hear that, it makes me think that like even the Chiefs aren't happy, which is why like when I saw that video yesterday on Instagram, and then we got the audio here, like when I watched that video yesterday, I was thinking to myself, like, you know what, honestly, I think Andy's kind of in the same mindset as we are. Like, that game shouldn't have been that way. And I know that he says it, like, hey, you get everybody's best effort. But their best effort shouldn't have been 27-27 with a minute 15 left in the game.
Right.
That shouldn't have been. Their best effort should have been, wow, Carolina put up 17 on this defense, and the Chiefs scored 30. But that's not what happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. What happened yesterday is you let a team believe that they were on the same playing field as you, and that's not what's good for this Kansas City Chiefs team. I understand it's about the playoffs, and it's about winning, and just keep winning, baby.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I can feel Like, I'm okay to have a little bit of stress in a game like that. And I know there was a couple weeks ago where I thought people were ungrateful. You know, the block field, but you're ungrateful.
Right.
That wasn't a division game. That was against one of the three most bottom feeders in Bob's bottom feeders. Every week we do that.
That's right.
That's not a team that should have been hanging around with a minute 15 left and the game's tied. Mahomes shouldn't have had to have been perfect. You guys talk about all the time, let's hide, let's die, let's not show our playbook.
Mm-hmm.
That final drive,
they had to show it. Yeah.
That was it. Everybody now, because of that game being close to Carolina, saw what the Chiefs did in that final minute 30 or whatever it was, and now that's on tape because it had to be shown, because you had to do it, because you flopped around and let Carolina believe. So if there were hanging heads, I would totally believe it. And I think that maybe, because we say this every week, maybe the Buffalo game is the game that sparks them up. Maybe this game is the one that wakes them up. Maybe sometimes you need to be slapped in the face with competition that's way less superior than you to be like, damn it, we're done.
Well, it's like the Raider game last year. Like, every year we see this happen, and we kind of compared the Buffalo game to it, you know, the other day. But Buffalo is a good football team. You know, chances are Buffalo is going to have your number every once in a while.
Allen, not Bryce Young.
Right, exactly. And then you get beat by the Raiders on Christmas Day, and your offense gives up 2 touchdowns in 7 seconds, and it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback for the Raiders that day because your offense gave up 2 touchdowns in 7 seconds. And you have that rock bottom moment of the season, or you get your 5th field goal attempt blocked that you didn't do anything different on against Tennessee, and they figure out how to block it and they win the game for you. Or, you know, the Raiders find a way to come in here and beat your ass and then drive a bus around the stadium. Like, sometimes it takes a performance like that to really send that wake up call. And if you're on the defensive side of the football and you haven't gotten the wake up call yet, then maybe you're never going to get this wake-up call. But it's time for the defense to wake up. I don't want to sit here and talk about the offense or they need to do more, because they don't. They scored 30 yesterday. If you told me yesterday the Chiefs scored 30 points, oh, they win this thing in a blowout. There's no question. Oh, the defense gave up 27, and they gave up the tying touchdown and two-point conversion with 120 to go in the game? Like,
bad
wait,
penalties.
Wait, what? And terrible penalties. 10 penalties for 91 yards
pass
yesterday?
Interference in the end zone.
I mean, how many times are you going to get a second and third opportunity for a two-point conversion that we saw yesterday? So, yeah, bad penalties on the defense, bad plays by the defense, not getting the job done on the defensive side of the football. Like, I feel like yesterday they thought they were going in and playing Bryce Young, and they showed up and played to the level that they thought Bryce Young was going to play at, and he came in and spanked their ass. I mean, there's just no way about it. Like, as a defensive unit, you can't walk away from that game saying, well, we got the win yesterday, shoo, and all things are good. As a defensive unit, you got to walk away from that game yesterday and go, what went wrong? How do we fix this thing? Because we've got the Raiders on Friday, short week, and then we turn around and we play the Los Angeles Chargers, who will be coming after you thinking they have a really good opportunity to get a playoff spot, potentially win the division, all that kind of stuff. They're coming in here on a Sunday night. If they beat Baltimore tonight, they're going to be riding high going into this game too. So you've got yourself an opportunity to get right against the Raiders, to gain some confidence, to make some plays against the Raiders, get some sacks against the Raiders, and then set yourself up for that big game against the Chargers on Sunday Night Football on December 8th. But to me, like, defensively, start moving in the right direction. You've had about a month now where you haven't done a whole lot of good things on the defensive side of the football. It's time to turn that around and play like you did at the beginning of the year, where this looked like an all-world defense. And quite honestly, it starts with Chris Jones. You've got to get a sack, man. You've got to do more than one sack. Or what did he have? No sacks in the last 7 weeks? Is that what it is? Hasn't had a sack in 7 games? That's unacceptable. Just is. It's unacceptable.
3.5 all season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
That's an unacceptable number.
It's not what he got paid for.
No, and Aaron Donald would never have a year like that, right? You want to compare him to
did
these great defensive ends.
How many times Aaron Donald went without longest?
I haven't gotten to. I'm going to go through the game logs to see if he's ever had a stretch like this.
Yeah, like, this is a long stretch. I mean, and I was praising Chris Jones at the beginning of the year because he was playing like a beast at the beginning of the year, right? He was playing really good football at the beginning of the year. Like, usually you pay a guy and they go one of two directions. They go out there and they show you that they earn that money and they play their ass off, or they eat. And at the beginning of the year, I was like, Chris Jones got paid. He's still dominating. Last 7 games, I haven't seen Chris Jones.
From the 785, Dustin needs to stop being such a negative Nancy. Fair enough. But I mean, it just...
But it's not being negative. It's talking about, like, what we saw yesterday,
right? Trust that this team will get it done in the playoffs because they have earned that through doing it. And that's fair. But I mean, that was Carolina yesterday.
Right.
That was the Carolina Panthers playing you like that was a playoff game.
And look,
and if you play a playoff team like you did versus Buffalo, you're losing by 9.
Right.
And Carolina gave Patrick Mahomes the ball with way too much time left. And I mean, it, obviously, you knew that the Chiefs were going to win it with a field goal.
And you didn't want to go to overtime because they weren't going to win that game if they lost the coin toss in overtime.
And then from the 816, interesting how Dusty's not brought up the KU versus Colorado game. We did.
No, we will, but like.
You can own it. Bring it on. I own it.
Is that a big topic of conversation today? I don't know. Like, is that what everybody's walking around Kansas City talking about today? I don't think so. You know? No. It was a nice game. Congratulations, right?
People in Manhattan hate Colorado more than KU this weekend, though.
That's good.
I found that out. Like, it took no time. Like, I thought KU was like, oh, you show a guy, you show my old boss Jeffrey a picture of Bill Self, he'll vomit.
Well, that's basketball. But football-wise, KU hasn't really been a threat to K-State, you know?
And now all of a sudden, Colorado's most hated team in Manhattan. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Colorado's been a threat to K-State.
How dare you come take over our division? But no, they got, Colorado got whooped, man.
Yeah, they didn't show up. You talk about a team that didn't show up on Saturday. My God,
I was texting Mac and Drew the whole time. I was like, Colorado's about to get boat raced. Oh, and they were like, I don't know, man, you need to score here. And then Travis Hunter was him for a little bit. And then it was just like, Devin Neal couldn't be stopped. So you bring it on, bring it on. Yeah. I'll own it. I own that badge of honor. Walking here like the damn Scarlet Letter.
Stan, it stinks for football, though, because you want to see Colorado in the college football playoff. It makes it more entertaining. I don't know who's in the college football playoff now after this weekend. Alabama's out. Ohio State's in. Yeah.
Is Indiana out?
Indiana's done. Stop trying to be like that pizza maker that coaches the team, you know, Cinzetti or whatever
really
his name is.
Blown out.
Oh, they did.
They did. Okay. They absolutely did. It was they were in it for the first quarter, and then Ohio State said, all right, enough of this.
See you later.
Yeah. And did you see the Ohio State scoreboard at the end of the game? We won. Google us.
Yes. So good. I love that sort of petty stuff, man.
Oh, I do too. I think it's great. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yes. Wonderful stuff. It's too bad KU didn't play this way at the beginning of the year. Seriously. Otherwise, they'd be in the conversation for
the college football playoff. KU wins one more game, they're bowl eligible. You know they ain't losing this week. Put all the money on
who
Kansas.
Who they got this week?
Doesn't matter. I don't care. Doesn't matter, dude. They just beat three ranked teams and back to back weeks.
Or this is the one where they play like a Baylor squad or somebody that's really bad and they end up losing because they play down to the level of their competition.
Probably K-State.
No, they already lost to K-State earlier in the year.
Fair enough. Who is it, Mac?
I'm looking.
They've already beaten Iowa State. They've already beaten BYU. Who are they going to play, like Utah?
Oh, it'll be at Baylor.
I told you, some bad school.
There you go.
And loss, right?
And scene.
Because that's just the way it works.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get to Derek Johnson, former middle linebacker of the Kansas City Chiefs. Plus, we'll talk about the legs, not the arm, of Patrick Mahomes here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it. Running away with the day like Patrick Mahomes ran away with the game yesterday. I believe he had 50 yards rushing on 6 attempts. Pretty solid.
That last run, though, man, it's just wild to continue to watch him do that to people, right?
In the fourth quarter with time dwindling away.
It's the same play, seemingly on the same sideline every single time. And every single time the opposition's like, he didn't run out of bounds, and now I totally missed him, and he's gone for another 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable, man.
He picks it well. Like, he just kind of knows, like, the moment when either the spy is going to give out or they're not going to have a spy. And as soon as he sees it, it's like there's things he does well, like knowing if the penalty's on the Chiefs or on the other team.
Yeah.
Like, did you see the play? He's on the ground already pointing.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Like, we were all like dying laughing at that. I was like,
I didn't catch it in the moment, but on the replay, I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I saw it. I was like, is his arm all right? Oh, he's pointing. It's on them.
Yeah.
Before even getting grounded.
I know. He's wild and crazy, man. Like, he's just so good at everything, isn't he?
Yeah.
God,
I mean, there's reasons why you're the best.
I mean, people want to always, like, you know, jockey who's the best quarterback and who's this and who's that, and who's this and who's that. Patrick Mahomes is the best. And we witnessed it yesterday. We saw it again yesterday, why he's the best. Josh Allen will give him a run for his money. There's no question about that. But who do you want with the ball in their hands with a minute eight to go and it's a tie ball game, or you're down three or you need that one score? Who do you trust more than anybody in this world? And it's Patrick Mahomes yesterday. I thought he had a nice game with Noah Gray and Xavier Worthy, and then he gets that 33-yard run with 38 seconds to go in the game, gets out of bounds at, what, the 22-yard line, sets him up perfectly for a game-winning field goal. And they win the game. The guy's just unbelievable, man. He's just unbelievable to watch. And until teams start to score with zero on the clock, Patrick Mahomes is always going to have an opportunity to win that football game. That was just another amazing run by him yesterday.
He's like, damn it, Josh got us last week. I'm going to get him this week.
I got to go do
this. I just wish that would have happened like to somebody other. Like, I would have loved if that game happened against the Chargers. But that's Carolina.
Yeah, right.
Like Carolina fans are like, oh, so that's what everybody's annoyed about? Well, it doesn't matter. We're 3-8.
Right.
But, man, that would suck if we were competitive. Boy, that'd be rough.
And that still can happen against the Chargers coming up in 2 weeks. I mean, it's not like December people 8th. Have figured out this run by Patrick Mahomes. It's the same one. Veer towards the sidelines, go down the sidelines, everybody backs away, cut back inside, and pick up another 10 yards. I mean, it is his now kind of textbook run that we've seen so many different times over the course of his career, really since that Tennessee Titan playoff game. We've seen it about 4 or 5 times since then.
Yeah, 10-1, moving on, still own the number one seed. But, man, you F around and find out against a team that can play. Like, I'm all eyes on the Chargers tonight. I know what Baltimore is. I don't need to watch what Baltimore is. I know what Baltimore is. I'm not sure who the Chargers are. And if they are who I think they are, then that game in 2 weeks is going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
I'll be honest with you guys. I know this is a short week for all of us. It's a short week for the Chiefs.
Yep.
And it's a divisional opponent that hates you. And they've won here before.
Oh, yeah. They don't care about coming here.
Right. They're not the whole – they get off to the crowd.
Yes.
It helps them maybe more than it helps the Chiefs. I know that's a weird overreaction Monday sort of take.
It's not, though. It's the truth. Yeah.
But I think – they, as in the Raiders, are like, oh, we know we're hated. We love it. You're loud because of us. Like, that's the way. It's like, really, they're loud because of the Chiefs, but it's like, you're loud because you hate us. And, you know, I don't know. What, does everybody speak today, obviously? Because what if it's Friday? So what, today's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday, and Wednesday's Thursday? I don't know how this week goes.
I was thinking about it earlier. Friday is Sunday. So Thursday would be Saturday. Wednesday would be Friday. Tuesday would be Thursday. Monday would be Wednesday.
Okay.
So today's Wednesday.
So today's full day of practice. Mahomes, Andy Reid, everybody talks
about it. I would imagine, yeah. Yeah, unless they give him the day off today, and then tomorrow becomes Wednesday, and then I don't think with a short week you've got the weekend off, right? You've got Saturday, Sunday off this week to recover. So I think it's balls of the wall for the next couple of days. Get through tomorrow because tomorrow would be
because this is that BS of the schedule where they play 3 games in 10 days.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, crazy, what? Right? And so tomorrow is Thursday, technically. So you know, by the end of the day, Thursday, they got the hay in the barn. Wednesday is Friday. You kind of do your walkthrough on Wednesday or whatever. Thursday, you know, you get some ice, and then Friday you play.
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and 4-time Pro Bowler.
Derrick Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derrick Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we gotta figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derrick Johnson with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, Derrick Johnson, sponsored by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you, and Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2. DJ, it wasn't pretty. It's a win. They're 10-1, but I know I'm not the only one that can sit back and have unnecessary complaints about a 10-1 team. I don't know if you have any, but boy, Bryce Young definitely looked good yesterday against this defense.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's the NFL, so when there's a close game against a team that's struggling throughout the season and just trying to find their identity, which the Panthers, a young team, young quarterback, they got talent, right? You know, they got players too. But it's the NFL. I mean, whenever you can pull out a win, and I think the Chiefs do it the best, especially with Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes being behind the center. Just when the game gets tighter, we get better. I did think that last touchdown by the Panthers, that was a touchdown. I was like, man, I know our defense is a little bit better than that, but, you know, it is what it is. We still pulled out the win. That was the most important part, to go down on the road and get a win.
You talk about that, you know, the touchdown and the end of the game. We've talked to you about this before, where, you know, we've talked about the compliments of pass rush for the cornerbacks and all that. It's like coverage sacks happen a lot. But Chris Jones, 7 games without a sack. A lot of people will say, well, he's getting a lot of pressure. At what point do we need to see the pressures actually turn into sacks? And then also, loaded question here, I'm sorry, but like, who do you want to see step up around him? Because it doesn't really look like he's got a lot of supporting cast members right now.
Yeah, rushing the pass is a hard, hard job. And Chris Jones is the top of the list. Talk about in the NFL when it comes to getting pressures or affecting the quarterback. I wouldn't put a number on it at times. I shouldn't say at times. Every time Chris Jones is out on the field, they are really keen on him. And it is harder for superstars like him to make things happen, just because they got a whole strategic plan to stop him. And not that they always have a, you know, they do a great job at it, but he does get a lot of pressures. And believe it or not, that does help the secondary. That does help other rushers around him. Again, it's going to have to not only come from Chris Jones getting more results in the sack department, but just all the defensive line, the rushers, the DBs, whenever we rush, whenever Spags. That's another thing. Spags didn't really dial him up yesterday. Usually he does. But we were playing a little more bend but don't break. But I wouldn't be so critical on his numbers right now. I think the pressures are really, really good for us. And he's very, I guess he's really disruptive when he's on the field. So I know he wants more sacks, but right now they're not coming.
And that leads to, like, George Karlaftis. How come he's not getting to the quarterback? Or maybe somebody else inside, maybe a Turk Wharton or a Mike Pinnell, or even, you know, Mike Dana, who I think plays great football, by the way, but this is another name out there. Like, somebody else needs to make their way to the quarterback, because you would think somebody's one-on-one, right, in those situations, if Jones is being absorbed by 3 people?
So true. And that's where you put the pressure and onus on the other defensive linemen, the other guys. And I think they know that. I don't think we come out of the game as players and as Chiefs football players. They don't come out of the game saying, man, Chris Jones didn't get a sack today. He's got to pick it up. It's like, no, we know what he could do. The other guys, and I'm glad you mentioned Dana. I think Dana's a heck of a player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of a guy that's the Swiss Army knife. He can line up anywhere on the defensive line. He's a little undersized, but he's tough. He's very fast for those guards when he's rushing against them. But again, George Karlaftis, which we know can rush the passer, guys like that, just got to be more strategic in keeping the quarterback in the well and get him on the ground.
What do you think, you know, getting Charles Omenihu back is going to mean for this defensive line?
Oh, big time. Just because of the size, the speed, the veteran leadership that he has, we know what he can do when he's healthy. And the more defensive linemen, or rushers, I should say, the more you have, especially down the stretch, man, we're gonna be golden. And just because when you're on a team with Pat Mahomes, you need rushers. You need guys that can affect the quarterback, because in the third, fourth quarter, they're going to be passing the ball because they're down every single time. So the more rushers we have, the more times we can scheme up something to get somebody free, maybe do some line stunts or some kind of T games with the defensive end and the tackles. I don't have a worry about our rush, but we do need to, this was a game where we could have used it.
Talk with Derek Johnson here on 96.5 The Fan. And you mentioned Mahomes, and again, with a brilliant run at the end with 38 seconds to go. He's ripping off a 33-yard run, fooling people on the sidelines. But that wasn't just it. I thought he played pretty much a perfect game yesterday, man. Like, we're getting now to, you know, December, and Patrick Mahomes is playing great over his last five games.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's what he does. And it's you know, it's like a well-oiled machine, man. I looked at the clock when he was when they got the ball back in the fourth quarter. It was a minute and 46. I'm like, oh, man, this is you actually gave him way too much time. I mean, even if we need to score a touchdown, we could have did that as well. Pat knows his goals. His goals are to win it all. Not have a perfect season, but get better throughout the season. And he's coming into his stretch. This is where he plays his best ball in late November, December, going into the playoffs. So it's pretty cool to see, especially when other guys. I mean, it was 8-9 players catching balls, and our leading guy was great, and which I love, because that means other guys are taking advantage of the other superstars, D-Hop or Kelsey. I saw Kelsey, every time Gray caught a ball, Kelsey's route was underneath them. So that just tells you the attention our other superstars get, so other guys are going to take advantage of it like Gray did.
What's the mindset for the team that's got to turn around and play a game on Friday this week?
Well, it's a quick turnaround, and and when you win, it helps. It really helps. But it kind of sucks, honestly. Football is a hard sport, and you need that whole week. Not that week is enough, but you need that whole week. And then when you chop it down and have a Friday, Thursday, a Friday game, it really just speeds things up. You can't physically do much. It's a mental week. Watching film, catching up. But the good thing about it is both teams are doing the same thing, so it's not just, you know, the onus on one team. But but one thing you have to do, you have to win on a short week. You have to win on a short week just to let the coaches know, hey, we don't need as much plays as you think we need. You know, that kind of goes into a psyche of a coach because if you go out and have a bad performance, and coach, you know, he'll say, man, we didn't do enough throughout the week. So you want to go out there and put it all out on the line.
Is it a disadvantage or an advantage playing a divisional opponent?
It is advantage because we know the Raiders. We know the opponent that we're going to. That's a great question, because a lot of times when I was in the NFL, when playing with the Chiefs, when you go against another opponent, you got to learn about this play, learn about that play. Oh, I didn't know this, that they do this a lot. So you really have to mentally get immersed in the game plan. When it comes to a division opponent, you really almost can pull up, because you played them a couple times, or even throughout the years, you can pull up that same game plan from during the season that you can use going into a short week, and I'm sure the Chiefs will do the same.
But also going into this short week, DJ, you've got to smack the Raiders in the face early, I think. Like, you, Desmond Ridder, DJ Ridder, whoever's playing for them, John Ridder playing quarterback for the Raiders, like you got to beat that guy up early, right? Because if you give him a little bit of confidence, then they're going to, like, maybe Christmas Day all over again.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Everybody, just like with the Panthers, everybody's going to play pretty good against the Chiefs. You know, you want them to play like their record. You want them to play like they played, you know, the other day. Not that good, but whenever they play against the defending champions, they're going to play really good. So even if it's a division opponent, they know the Chiefs better than anyone. So they're going to try to have their game plan. They're going to have to, regardless, we're not going to feel sorry for them, whoever they have at quarterback. We have to start early and put doubt in their mind. And so the second half, we can run the ball and get out of there with no injuries.
So let me ask you about DJ Humphreys coming over. They sign him on Friday. He's battling a knee injury, hasn't played all year. Kind of just go through, like, realistic expectations that we should have for this guy, realistic expectations of battling back from a knee injury and you haven't played all year. Like, you've been there and done all that kind of stuff. What's this like for the player, and what kind of expectations should we have as fans?
Well, you know, when you get injured,
regardless if it's a season-ending injury or a few weeks at a time, your mindset, it's a mental block that you have to get over. It's not just a physical thing. You really have to get out there and believe that you can make cuts and you can stick your foot in the ground and accelerate the way you need to. But I wouldn't be so hard on him. You know, it takes a couple days before you, a couple games, I should say, before you can really get going and get your mind frame right when it comes back, coming back from an injury. It is hard. It is a mental thing that you have to get over when you're playing in the NFL, especially coming off an injury. But I'm not too worried about it. Usually, Andy Reid does a great job and making sure the players are ready. If they're out there on the field, they're ready. Andy is not a I've been around some coaches like Todd Haley. If you almost broke your leg, he'll be like, yeah, just go out there and just like, oh, man, you know, he's actually going to hurt us if he goes out there. But Andy makes sure, hey, if he's ready to go, if he's practicing, he's going to be confident in his ability.
All right, DJ. Well, Josh Uche only played 11 snaps this week. So you ready to come over here and, you know, you could probably play 11 snaps today, couldn't you?
Oh, man, I wish I could. Hey, my mind's there, but not my body.
That's right. Well, hey, man, have a good Thanksgiving.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Man, I appreciate it. Y'all too.
No. Derek Johnson there joining us here on Fesco in the Morning, of course, brought to you by Community Credit Union. If I can get the read right, if I could speak, that'd be nice to get your sponsors right, Dusty. You're going to have to learn this job to keep it. Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you, and also Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2. I'm going to assume he's not a Todd Haley fan.
Oh, God, no.
Your leg was broken. Get it out there, boy!
God, what Todd Haley did to him?
Put some dirt on it!
I mean, we've talked about it over the years. He hated Todd Haley, but actually, Todd Haley made him a great football player.
Fair.
Hated him. Like, Todd Haley benched him and told him he needed to, like, earn his job back. And DJ goes, you know, I hate the guy, but if it's, like, not for that guy, I probably don't become the leading tackler in Chiefs history. So it's like a double-edged. Yeah, it is. Like, he hated him, but it was the best thing for him. But you can still hate somebody that, you know, maybe was the best thing for you. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like used to always think I hated cranberry sauce, and now I love it because I actually tried it.
But they always say the best bosses are the ones who make you work harder, right? Like to get the most out of you, not just kind of give you the free pass. They make you learn and you go through those struggles and you build yourself back up. Todd Haley probably went a little bit too far with this thing, but it turned out that like for the 10 years after Todd Haley left, DJ turned into the best middle linebacker we've ever seen, probably here this side of Willie Lanier, you know?
I mean, our boss, John, before Steven.
I was going to use that, but
proof. Yeah. There was one time, Mac, I was doing an update. They used to do updates in there, and he came in there in the middle, knowing the clock, in the right at the start of the update, and just self, like, jogged in place, and I'm like, in other news in the sports, this guy did this. He had 400 yards and blah, 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 and all that. And he's just like, I'm Von Miller. I'm Von Miller. I'm pressure. And I was just like, what are you doing?
How out of breath was he when it was all said and
done? This is before he went to El Taco.
Okay.
Or Del Taco.
Del Taco, yeah.
Dude, I was like, what are you doing? And then, like, I think I was in there for Heisler and Parkins was doing the show. And he, like, got on the microphone, though, like, he can talk about that. He's like, what was that? And I was like, dude, I don't know, man. I was like, I have no idea.
He's trying to make you better. He's trying to distract you to see if you can do it.
Oh, it's terrible.
Hey, there's many ways to skin a cat. Yeah. Yeah, there's that, or there's rapping on the window and asking what happened at 8:32.
Oh, a little personal there. You want to explain?
No. Okay, we've had that conversation for a decade. Yeah. Move on from that.
All right. Well, a take that I don't know if it's real or not. I really don't know if this is a real take. We'll get to it on the other side of 96.5 The Fan. Your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Fesco, Dusty, Mac with you on a Monday. Cody and Drew from 10 to 2. Alex Gold taking the week off.
Good for Alex. Seems like a lot of people are taking the week off. Seems like a slow go at it this morning from a traffic standpoint. I think a lot of people take this week off now, right?
Would you?
I
mean, we didn't.
We didn't, but sometimes I do. Just depends on what's going on.
We also do this early in the morning, so
if I'm traveling, I probably would have worked today and taken the rest of the week off.
Yeah. You guys got Tuesday and Wednesday. See you later.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Maybe I would have worked yesterday and flown out yesterday afternoon or something. Schedule lends itself to do stuff like that.
Is the school out?
Oh, yeah.
All week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. All
Damn,
week, yeah.
Has that happened always?
You know, the last couple of years, I think they started doing that, and it's just, kind of worked that way, so.
That's interesting.
Yeah. We never had that time off.
We had the Wednesday was like the Thanksgiving party.
Yeah, you had a half day on Wednesday, and you had Thursday and Friday off. Yeah.
What the hell?
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah,
like take now. Monday and Tuesday off.
Yeah.
None of the teachers are complaining.
No, God, no. Nor should they be.
Yeah. I mean, give them some time.
Right.
They already get like every other Monday off. They get.
Let's not start with talking about how much time teachers get off or what it is. You go do that job and see where you are.
It's a losing battle, Dusty.
Yeah. No, I was just talking to my buddy yesterday, and he was like, yeah, every other Monday, the kids don't have school. I just remember like back in the day, it was like holidays, and then like that was it. And then there's an election year. We got that Tuesday off, which that was this year. So, good for them. Pay them more and give more time off.
I agree.
That's my take. Speaking of takes, I don't know who this guy is. Aaron Childress, Brad's son,
mm-hmm.
Former offensive coordinator here, I believe.
Is this real or is this?
I don't know. It got 182,000 views on X.
It's stupid. Sometimes dumb things get views. This has to be dumb, right?
He goes after Kay Adams, which I don't like. He says, please, Kay Adams, could you please give my Chiefs some positive vibes? You're our only hope. They're absurd to watch.
They're 10-1.
I mean, I get that yesterday's win was frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. This guy also looks like he owns a craft beer hall. But maybe he's great. But again, asking Kay Adams for positive vibes for the Chiefs because they're miserable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting that when you look at it, from that perspective, like, first off, like, that's a lame text or tweet. But also, like, the other thing about it is that it's like, they're not miserable to watch. They're frustrating because you're trying to watch greatness,
mm-hmm.
right? And I love the fact that we can have these sort of conversations. Like, we're not talking about, well, if they play like this, this season's going to end. And the thing that's interesting about this is that that's how you can do this. Like, that's how you can, have this sort of argument. When you're in the midst of a three-peat, like, it's like watching the great sports guys do it. It's like watching Tiger Woods go out there and shoot a 68, and he's like, I don't know, Ernie, 65 was out there. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? You just shot 4-under on a Masters Sunday, and you won the tournament, but you said you could have shot a 65 to win it. It's like, okay. All right. And that's what the Chiefs essentially do. Like, you played a team in Carolina who's 3-8, not good.
Mm-hmm.
And you let them hang around. That's frustrating because you know what? You're still one. You're still 10-1. You still own the narrative of the AFC and the number one seed. Buffalo on a bye this week. Now everything will start to catch up and be easier to do in the tables and stuff. But again, like, that's the difference, man. Like, that's what that sort of game is. Like, that sort of text, they're miserable or whatever to watch. Please give us some good luck. And that, get out of here. But, like, where I do see people, and it's okay to complain, is when you're trying to see what greatness is. When you've won back-to-back Super Bowls and you're 10-1, and yet you're still finding ways to be like, why am I frustrated? Because that's not what a dynasty like the Chiefs have. That's not how they should do things against a team like Carolina. And I know. I hear it all the time. Well, they play up to their competition. Come on.
They just had a bad game yesterday that they actually ended up winning because Mahomes was perfect.
Yeah, Mahomes was perfect yesterday, and I don't think that's overstating how good he played yesterday. And I think his performance right now probably gets like lost a little bit because they barely won the football game yesterday, and that's something that we as a fan base, I think some of us have done a pretty good job of separating, you know, the regular season from the postseason and all that kind of stuff. But I think also yesterday is the prime example of the macro versus micro thing that I like to talk about a lot, because macro in the moment, yeah, yesterday wasn't that good. Micro in the moment, not good. Macro, big picture, we're 10-1 and we lead the AFC and we're probably going to have home field advantage throughout the postseason and most likely make it into the Super Bowl. Like, everything is still attainable. That is right in front of you. But micro in the moment, what we saw yesterday, yeah, I mean, it leaves a little bit to be desired, but by no means should you be singing woe is me and begging Kay Adams for, you know, a lifeline if you're the Kansas City Chiefs when they're sitting at 10-1, which is the best record in the NFL. And I think sometimes folks get too caught up in the micro that they forget about the macro, and what really matters is the big picture of things. Yeah, Sunday wasn't great, but big picture wise, everything is still right there. Everything is still attainable. You're still a 10-1 football team. Micro, yeah, they need to get some things better. Chris Jones needs to start playing better. Defensively, they need to start playing better. But macro is they figure out a way to get it done. They figure out a way to win these games. And there's more to be said for winning a game close than there is a blowout, because you're going to have to win close games. And you do have to know how to make the plays and win close games. And I think the Chiefs are very much tested in that. But I also think too, Dusty and Mac, like, there are some fans out there that just aren't going to be happy regardless of what happens, right? There's always going to be something that they're not happy about. And I think for fans like that, sometimes it's tough to please them, and sometimes you don't have to worry about pleasing them. You just have to move on from them. And if winning a game, you know, against the Raiders this Sunday, 35 or Friday, 35-17 isn't good enough for some people, or whatever the case may be, then there are just some people out there that just can't be pleased, and they're just kind of miserable, and I'm sad for them.
Mickey doesn't seem to be happy. Just a funny, cool, and overall kick-ass guy, according to Twitter. What?
That's so cringe.
Chiefs fan here. That's what it says, because NFL and CBS tweeted out, which 10 team will be is better, 10-win team is better, Chiefs or Lions?
Right.
Chiefs fan here. Mm-hmm. The answer is the Lions, and it ain't close.
Okay, Mickey.
Ain't close.
That's fine.
Come on, man.
That's fine. And then at the end of the year, Chateau Milk will have a drink called Lion's Tears.
Yeah.
And it'll be blue milk, and it'll be a three-peat.
Like, as much as you're watching these games right now, and you're looking at the Lions, and they're having some fun, and they're winning some games in a big way, it's fantastic. What about them makes you think that they are a better team than the Chiefs? Because if you're starting a franchise, you are still starting this team with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid 10 times out of 10 over Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. And I like both of those guys.
But I think it's more so about the right now. Like, whose team's better right now?
I don't know. I don't know. How
it's the Lions.
Is it, though? I mean, are they the better team? Like, if the Chiefs and Lions played today, are you 100% sure the Lions are going to win that game?
That's two different questions. I think the Lions are better right now, but they play in the NFC.
Yeah.
I think the AFC is tougher. I think there's more competition in the AFC, and I think the Chiefs have played the toughest competition in the NFC as well as the AFC. So, I mean, it's two different questions there, but right now, points scored versus points against, the Lions lead, and it's not close. So, yeah, I mean, like, right now, they're the better 10-1 team, but let's watch that game in the playoffs. Let's see if that game becomes a Super Bowl, and let's see what the Chiefs do a little bit later on throughout the season. And again, the Chiefs just played an NFC team in Carolina, and only won by three.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe my point doesn't make sense. But it was a road game. Detroit didn't really run away with that game yesterday. I watched it on a different TV, and they kind of were hanging around with the Colts. Anthony Richardson was looking okay again. But again, like, right now, like, yeah, I mean, maybe the Lions are the better team right now.
Maybe they are. And look,
I trust this Chiefs team
in the playoffs more than I will trust that Lions team.
Absolutely, and that's what I go back to. That's why I look at it from a playoff perspective, because the regular season, again, really doesn't matter. How are you going to perform in the postseason? And we know what the Chiefs do in the playoffs. 15-3 under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in the postseason. That's a pretty good record. That's not an anomaly. That's not a blip on the radar screen. That's an entire season of playoff games plus some, and they're 15-3. I'm taking that every single day in the postseason over any team that the Chiefs are against. I will bet them against every team in the NFL when the playoffs are here, because they know how to win when it matters most. They know how to get the job done. And that's why, did yesterday stink? Yeah, you wanted to see a blowout. But at the end of the day, macro is they got to win. They're 10-1, and there's only two teams in the NFL right now that are 10-1, and the Kansas City Chiefs are one of them.
See what happens. We got a couple more weeks to go in the regular season. Coming up on the other side, how wrong we all were. The script gets revealed from Friday as we get back to the script on a Monday here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.